Testament lesson this morning is from the book of Luke, chapter 1, verses 46 through 55. The scripture is scripture that most of us have heard our entire lives, or ever since we first started attending church. We refer to it as we do in the first chapter of Matthew, part of the first and second chapter of Matthew, as the Christmas story. And we're in danger of glibly skipping over it as, yeah, that's what we do every Christmas. It's important scripture, and I know that because it's in the Bible. Just as I've told you before, in my work in the business world, I have always taught people that I work with that there are no extra words in a contract. Every word is there for someone's benefit, someone's interest. There are no extra words in the Bible. Everyone is there for our benefit and for the interest of God that we worship. Now, this is commonly referred to as in many terms, but as Mary's song, as a song of praise, a song of Mary, and in many other terms. But we have to put it in context. We have the event of Jesus' birth that has been foretold for thousands of years, has been written about for many hundred years, and the most recent writing before the birth of Jesus was 400 years, but it was written about 600 years and 1,000 years before the birth of Christ through the prophets. Even the book of Genesis points to Christ. And we had a priest named Zechariah who was preparing for his duties. He had been he was in the priestly family that was leading the temple worship that year. And they chose lots each time and drew straws to see who would go into the holy of holy places to ask God to forgive the sins of the people. And Zechariah, a man who was very, very old, was chosen. And he and his wife Elizabeth were lovers of God. And they believed in God. Their faith was strong, but Elizabeth and Zechariah could not bear children. Elizabeth was shamed because she was barren. In that culture at that time, it was thought that God was not blessing you if you could not bear children. And so Zechariah goes into the temple to pray to God, and the people are waiting outside for him to lead them in prayers, and they wait, and they wait, and they wait. But while he's in there, an angel appears to him and tells him that he and Elizabeth, even though they're close to 100 years old, will bear a child. The scripture describes Zechariah at that age as about dead. Yet they're going to bear a child. And not only does the angel tell him that he's going to bear a child, they're going to have a child, but they tell him that the child will be named John. The child will not be allowed to have any alcohol or forbidden foods. And the child will be raised in the way of the Lord and will be the one to come and lead the way and proclaim the arrival of the Christ, of the Son of God. And so, Zechariah says something to the effect, not these words, but you got to be kidding. And the angel said, this is the word of God, but because you have not believed, that you will not be able to speak until after these events occur. So he comes out of the temple, the people are waiting, and they, you know, they're waiting for him to talk, and he's motioning to them. He can't talk, and he's trying to tell them, and then they understand that he has seen a vision. And of course, scripture doesn't tell us how he explained all this to his wife, who's about to be surprised. But John the Baptist is born, and he is raised in the wilderness and spends his days preparing for the way of Jesus Christ. And then we come to Mary. An angel comes to Mary. This is about, okay, and this is 3 months later, the angel comes to Mary and says to her that you, a virgin, are going to have a child. And Mary was shocked. She was afraid. The angel told her, as angels tend to always do in Scripture, do not be afraid. But if an angel came in front of us today, we would probably be afraid. And the angel came to Mary, and the angel told Mary that she was going to have a baby, and that baby would be the very Son of God, and he would be named Jesus, and he would come to save people from their sins. But Mary didn't say, "You got to be kidding." She did say, "How can this be? Because I'm a virgin." He told her that the Holy Spirit will come over you, Mary, and you will have the Son of God. And Mary didn't say, "You know, not me. Why don't you go find another virgin?" She said, I am your servant. I believe you." And she was blessed for that. Now we get to our scripture after she said, "I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said." And then Mary goes. She went to the country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. And she was related to Elizabeth, who is pregnant with John the Baptist. And don't you remember that the scripture says that when Mary came into Elizabeth's presence, the baby John the Baptist jumped in the womb of Elizabeth, leaped for joy, it says. And then we get to chapter verse 46. And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arms. He has scattered those who are proud of their inmost thoughts. He has brought down the rulers from their thrones and has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever. Even as he said to our fathers." And then it says, Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months and returned home. This scripture, along with the Psalm 146 that we read, are praises to God. Now, where in the world would a young woman like Mary. You know in that culture that women were not allowed to teach. Women were allowed to hear the word, but kept in a separate place. They were very limited in their ability to study and learn from the rabbis. So where did all this knowledge come from Mary? Scripture doesn't tell us this, but it does tell us a lot. One, when the angel talked to Mary, he said, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. So she is filled with the Holy Spirit. Mary got these words, some quoted from the prophets, from the same place the prophets got them. She received these words from God. Mary received the knowledge she had from God. Obviously, she was a woman of faith. She believed in the one God. She had been raised and taught by her family of God and taught scriptures. So Mary talks about this. Now, if something like this happened to you, if an angel came and told you that you were going to experience something absolutely amazing, and that you would be the mother or the father of the Son of God, and you had something to say, what would you say to the people? If you look at what Mary has said here, my soul glorifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. For he's been mindful of me in my humble state. She says, I'm nothing. And yet the Lord has taken notice of me. She said, for all generations, they'll call me blessed because of this. And she said, it's nothing I deserve. It's nothing I have. For the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. Mary isn't writing about Mary. Mary is writing about God. Mary is writing about Jesus. Mary is writing about the fulfilling of the scriptures and for what God is doing for her and for you and for me. Praise God. Mary is giving thanks. She's giving praise. She's rejoicing for what God has done, not for what she is going to do. She is being thankful that God has chosen to work through her. Now, how often are we thankful that God chooses to work through us? Frequently, we feel it's a burden. God, I don't want to do this. I don't want to go talk to that neighbor. She's grumpy. She complains. I don't want to talk to Uncle Harry. He's never going to believe. He never has believed. God, don't make me talk to him. And yet Mary, a virgin, is going to have a baby at a time when the penalty for that is stoning to death. And she gives thanks to God. And we don't want to talk to Uncle Harry. He might say something that we don't want to hear. Jesus Christ was spit upon as he was being whipped and persecuted. And yet never did he renounce God. Never did he complain. Never did he even threaten or complain to the people who were doing it. But he humbled himself. And Mary humbled herself to God. Mary didn't talk about the great honor that's come to me. She did acknowledge that people would talk about how she'd been blessed. She didn't say that people would talk about how great she was. She didn't talk about how honored she was. She didn't talk about how people for generations would talk about how she was specially chosen. She said, they will talk about how God blessed me, what God's given me, what God has done for me. Mary was chosen by God. Elizabeth and Zechariah were chosen by God to have a child named John, who was chosen by God to bring the good news of Jesus Christ to the world. You were chosen by God. You were chosen by God every bit as much as Mary was chosen by God to bring the good news of Christ to the world, to live a life that is a witness to Jesus Christ, to live a life that is separate from the world, in the way that you view the world, in the way that you understand the people, in the way that you respond to the world, yet you're in the world. We are not to separate ourselves and leave and cluster ourselves away from the world, but we are to live in the world as a witness. And you were chosen for that. Mary, when she was chosen, said, I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. What do you say? What do you say when you are asked by the Spirit to do something in the name of God? To do something that you don't want to do? To give more than you want to give? To do without something you would like to have? To be somebody that you don't want to be? Mary said, I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. This Sunday we lit the candle of joy. We have peace and hope and love. Let us all approach this Christmas season, not with, I can't wait till it's over, not with, oh, I hate doing this, not with, I hope they behave themselves at Christmas, I hope they don't drink too much, I hope they don't say the wrong thing, I hope that they're happy with the present I got them. Let us approach this Christmas as the light and the salt in our families, the light and salt in our workplace, the light and salt in our community, the light and salt with everybody that we meet when we go shopping. Let us let the person waiting upon us at the table when we go to eat, when we go to a restaurant, when we go to a store, when we go and pay our taxes, when we go and pay our utility bill, when we go to the bank, let that person see that light. Let them see that joy. Let them understand that you are the Lord's servant and you will do as the Lord has asked. Amen. Let us continue the worship with We Three Kings on 288. Wanted to wake you up.